important. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 34, and we'll start reading at verse 5 to 9, and then we'll be reading again in Joshua 1, 1 to 9, which is just over the page from the end of Deuteronomy. So if you find the first five books in your Bible and go to Deuteronomy chapter 34, and we'll start reading at verse 5, and we'll read down to verse 9. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab, in the valley opposite Beth Peor. But to this day no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died. Yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Now turn over to Joshua, which should be just on the other side of the page there, and we'll start reading chapter 1 and verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn it from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Let's just stop for a moment and pray as we... Our dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the words of encouragement that you gave in your word to Joshua. I just pray that as Pastor Joseph opens up the word of life to us this morning, that you would speak to us, that you would reveal something new for us to put in practice into our lives this week. And we just pray now that you would bless us and strengthen us and give us courage to do what you ask us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Well, Deuteronomy 34, a chapter of history, closes. Moses is dead. Moses had led his people for 40 years in the desert. He brought them out of Egypt. He, as a matter of fact, his life is a very interesting life. For 40 years, he was a prince, and then for 40 years, a shepherd, and then for his last 40 years, he was the leader of a great mass of people. And his leadership was one of the most leaderships on earth. He brought together a people that had not enjoyed freedom for a long time. And they could have made that journey in 40 days, but actually it took them 40 years, and even then, none of them except two people made it to the promised land. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And Moses, the great leader who received the Ten Commandments, the law, had to pay a price also. He was not able to cross the river and go into the promised land. And so Joshua, who was a very faithful help or helper to Moses, was the one to lead now this nation or these people to the promised land. His death symbolized the end of the dispensation of the law. Jesus said in John 1:17, "For the law was given through Moses," and goes on to say other things, but here we see that by his death, we have come to another era, and that is the law has been given, the children of Israel have been brought to this point, and now Joshua is to lead them into the promised land. In Joshua chapter 1, a new chapter opens. God's call comes to Joshua to lead his people. Joshua is a type of Christ. Earlier in his life, Joshua was called Hoshea, Numbers 13, 8 and 16, and it meant salvation. But later Moses changed his name to Joshua, meaning the Lord saves or the Lord gives victory. The Greek form of Joshua is Jesus, which is Jesus. The Greek language uses the word Jesus for Jesus, Christ, but also Joshua as Jesus in the Old Testament. The law was given through Moses in John 1:17. Grace and truth comes from Jesus Christ, John 1:17. In the same verse, we see the comparison of these two events in our history. A new chapter opens also in Joshua's life. And first, there are some points I would like to make, and the first one is the commission. Verses 2 to 4. God says to Joshua, cross the Jordan River. Marching orders have been given. God says, I brought you this far. None of them made it because they were disobedient. None of them made it except you two, or the two that are entering from the old stock, if you wish, because they disobeyed. They did not allow my word to take over their lives. God said, Joshua must lead now these people. Moses had said that this day would come in Deuteronomy 31, 7 and 8 said, and Joshua would have to lead the people to the promised land, he had said. Joshua must have had a big, or must have had big feet, actually, because it's the Bible says, or God said to him, I will give you every place where you set your foot on. Every place Joshua walked was to be given to him. Joshua had walked here before as a spy in Numbers 13, 8. And he was one of the spies that entered the promised land and brought the news to Moses. And Joshua not only was very faithful to Moses, but was determined to do God's will. Joshua and Caleb had seen this good land and had brought back the good news and report, but people doubted. They had remained in their miserable condition. And here you have the two messengers that went into the promised land, and they saw what a wonderful place it was, and they came back and shared all this with the people, the children of Israel, and they doubted them. And they looked back and they remembered their beautiful looking onions and the beautiful looking life back in Egypt 40 years ago by then. Well, it is the same thing today also, I believe, when someone hears the good news about salvation, the good news about eternity, the good news about life after death, but life after being born again, And they say, well, yeah, okay, but maybe, well, later on. And they do doubt the message, as they did doubt Joshua's message. But now Joshua will lead them into the promised land. First was the commission. Second is the conflict. In verse 4, we see the conflict. It wasn't going to be easy. There would be resistance. Others had come and taken the land, other people. A major problem was the walled city of Jericho. But that wasn't a problem for God. They faithfully marched for 7 days. 6 days, actually, and on the seventh day, God gave them that city, answered their prayers. The conflict of the Christian life is found in 1 John 2, verses 15 to 17. And I read 1 John 2:15-17. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the craving of the sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes from the Father, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. There were many dreams ahead. There were many desires ahead as a teenager, and then as when I was in my 20s and 30s, and slowly God takes those desires and deals with them, and encourages you to deal with them. And some of them must go, some of them must stay. But all these dreams and desires will one day disappear. And then you have to meet your Creator, the Bible says. In Galatians 5:19 and 21, we read about the conflicts with the flesh. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, just remember that Paul is writing to the believers. Paul is writing to the church. Paul is writing to those who would be claiming in those days, I'm a follower of Christ, I'm a disciple of Christ, I'm a member of the church, I'm the one of the elders, I'm one of the deacons. And they had all kinds of reasons why they would be called the followers of Christ or the people of the way, if you wish. But Paul knows better, because Paul also speaks from what he has experienced when he visited the churches, when he went to Corinth, saw a lot of stuff that was not supposed to be there in the Corinthian church. And then he is writing to the Galatians and says all these things that today are being practiced outside the church, you would feel, but actually there are those who go to church, those who claim to be believers, those who have the Bible under their or in their hand, and they will be going to church, that practice some of these things. And the Bible says all those who practice these sins will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I'm not saying it, and it's not a doctrinal statement, but these are the words of the Bible. It says, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Conflict with the devil. There are many conflicts. First was the conflict with the world. And the question is, okay, now what are you suggesting? Should I go to a monastery? Well, we still have some monasteries in Greece where I come from. But those monasteries now have become tourist attractions only because they did not work. People that went into monasteries did not become any holier. People thought they were, but you may pretend to be holy. You may deal with some of the obvious sins, but what goes in the heart, only God knows, and unless you change from within, you cannot change it. You cannot change your life, and you cannot have that joy and that peace and that serenity that God brings into the life of someone who has made Christ his or her Lord and Savior. So the conflict of the world and then the conflict of the flesh, I often say that my worst enemy is myself. And you've said that and you have discovered that to be the truth. That you may stop yourself from participating in this or going there or giving into that or the other or being good or looking good. But then when you go to bed or sit down alone, no one there to tempt you, but you realize that the heart, the mind, the flesh is your enemy because tempts you all the time. Unless the Holy Spirit has taken over that nature is a lie. And then there is the conflict with the devil. Now the devil is an enemy that is alive and is very powerful. But he who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. Ephesians 6:10 and 12 we read, "Finally be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm." And that is so true. Have you ever tried to fight the devil, or the devil, or one of his angels? There comes a thought, there comes a doubt in your mind, and you want to push it away. And you say, "No, I'm not going to think about it anymore." And you keep thinking, still thinking about it. And you say, "No, I don't want to go any further with this thought." And the flesh or the devil, something makes you come back and revisit that, whatever it is, the temptation, the thought, the doubt, the anger, the bitterness. And the devil has a way of doing it. Unless we have dealt with some of these things and God has taken over that particular situation. Ephesians 6:10-12. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power." His mighty power is sufficient to help us fight the good fight. Have or has the conflict been difficult for you? I always, when we come to the Bible study on Tuesday night, I will make a comment and say, you know, okay, we've come here, we spend an hour or so studying the Word of God. It seems that we all agree that these things are bad and these things are okay, that we should pray more and we should do this and we should be a light as Christ, as God expects us to be the light. And we discuss all these things and we all feel good because we are agreeing. Now, the question is not whether we agree in the Bible study or here this morning. The question is, what's going to happen when I come out of this church or go through the door and go back home and face the same problems, the same temptations, the same difficulties, even more this time? How do I deal with these things? And this is a problem that we must all deal with. Have these temptations, have these conflicts been difficult for you? And if you say, no, I can deal with them, I have no problem, no big deal, then you must be a saint or a person that is exceptionally spiritual. But I have to deal with conflicts daily. I don't know about Quinton who goes back and forth to the States. Quinton, you must agree that there are conflicts in life. And these conflicts are not easy to deal with unless we say, you know what, God, please take over. I can't deal with this. And the best experience I had in that, and I'll has very little to do with the message, but I'm going to I'm sharing this to show you when God takes over. There was, many years ago, there was a young lady who kept calling me saying that she was demon-possessed and she didn't know how to deal with these satanic powers. And she would speak to me over the phone, and then her voice would change and would become like a deep, heavy voice. And she just scared me. I never was exposed to demon-possessed people, never saw one, never heard one. And I never dealt with this stuff. Look, I'm from Europe. That only happens in Africa, I thought. It happens here more than you think. But anyway, this lady said, I would like to come to the Bible study. She came to the Bible study, and she sat there for a few Tuesdays. And every time she was looking at me, I couldn't even go on because there was some kind of influence. Anyways, I wasn't aware of any powers that could influence me, I thought. One night she said, can you pray with me and for me? I said, sure. So I said, come upstairs to my office here. And halfway there, I said, what am I doing on my own? I called one of my our elders here, and he's dead now. And I said, Norbert, would you please come with me? He's not dead because of that. He is dead now. But anyways, so we came to the office, and I was very proud of myself. I know how to deal with this. I know what words to say, and I know how to deal with this young lady who says she is demon-possessed. And Norbert was sitting right there. So I started praying and praying. Nothing was happening. In the contrary, this woman was becoming very wild, and she started foaming and shouting. And more I prayed, more louder she became. I said, what's happening? I've never seen this. And then after about half an hour, I gave up. I said, Lord, I give up. I don't know what to do with this. Believe me, I gave up. I didn't know. I was scared. And then the moment I said that, this lady stopped and calmed down. And I said, Lord, thank you. I went home. I was still scared. I went downstairs. I said, and I had my hand, my arm over her shoulders, and I felt very hot. And I said, it's all up there. She's not hot. Anyways, I came down and I said, touch my hand. My wife says, hey, your hand is burning. It's very hot. And I said, okay, it's all in my mind. I went home. I couldn't sleep at night because of this powerful influence she had on me. The following day, a brother came from Brother Ish. I don't know how many know Brother Ish. Brother Ish, a French missionary married to a Greek missionary evangelist, came from Sim, Canada. Came and I said, Brother Ish, this is what happened to me. Oh, he said, you are so inexperienced. I've lived in Africa so many years, and sometimes you go through a village and you feel that powerful influence. He said, you did everything that was wrong. You should have called upon the Lord right away and not try what you've learned at the movies, exorcists and all that with a cross. The devil is not afraid of the cross. He's not afraid of your words in the name of Jesus. If these are only words, but if God sees your heart, that you have given up, you've tried this and you've tried that, and life is not getting any better. It's just like me trying to calm this lady, and everything is going even worse. Until I called upon the name of Jesus and I said, I give up. I don't know what else to do. Now, some people may believe this story, some others may doubt it, but it really happened. And my wife is a witness, my hand was burning, even at home. So from then on, I have become a reluctant believer of these powers, not reluctant because I don't believe in them, but because I think some people may not believe me. So the moment we bring our conflicts to God and say, I can't deal with this conflict, please take over, He will. Are you in the wilderness of defeat or the land of victory? Is your life a constant struggle against the powers of darkness with constant defeat, or with God's power and help? and you will have victory if he is the source of power. And finally, the third point I would like to make, first was the conflict, second was actually the commission, and then was the conflict, and third is the call for courage. The Bible says, or God said to Joshua three times, be strong and courageous. This statement came right after God said to Joshua, I will never leave you nor forsake you, in verse 5. But let's look at some reasons why Joshua might have been afraid. He was beginning a new vocation, a new work. Are you starting a new job? Are you going to a new situation in your life? Are you just getting married or having a child, changing the course? And I don't know what it is, but you may be afraid. You may be scared because this is something brand new. Well, Joshua was afraid. Then he had been given a huge responsibility. Very often I'm given a responsibility that I think I cannot do it until I sit down and bow my head and say, I can't do it, Lord, please help me do it. And God will help you. Then we see that his hero and mentor had just died. Many of us depend on our wife, may depend on our wife, husband, or a mentor or some leader that we worship. And if he goes, then I am lost. What's going to happen to me? But we forget that our Creator and Sustainer is always there to help us. He was not young. He was about, I don't know what age he was, but he wasn't young. God, knowing the difficulties, he said to Joshua three times, first, be strong and courageous. Then he said, in verse 7, be strong and very courageous. And then finally he said, be strong and courageous. Now, why is it that God is telling Joshua to be courageous? Why couldn't he make him to feel that way? Why didn't God make him courageous and without even telling him to be courageous? Because it does, God needs our commitment. And if I commit my life and I say, Lord, make me courageous, help me to be courageous, help me deal with this situation, then he will do it. But if I say, well, if I don't succeed, Lord, will you please help me? And then what I'm saying is, I'm going to try my best. I'm going to base my faith on the doctrines I know, the books I've read, the people I've listened to. And then if they don't satisfy me, then I'll come to you. And I have been talking to a man for a long time, and just the other day, 2-3 days ago, I was talking to him, and I said, when are you going to surrender your life to God, the Lord and Savior? And he said, I said, you know the Bible well, you've been reading the Bible for so many years. He said, well, I still have few things to check. I still have few things to investigate in that. Let's look at some reasons that would give him courage, or what was there to give him courage. Well, he should have remembered the power of God. And he did. The presence of God. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go, God said to him. Then the promises of God. God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know what? We don't use enough this promise. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And people have taken that and turned it into a doctrine to mean something completely different. But God promised Joshua that he will not leave him nor forsake him. But he demanded his faithfulness. He said, don't look to your left nor to your right. Just follow me. As a matter of fact, at the end, we see Joshua closing the book of Joshua, saying to the Jewish people that he brought to the promised land or about to bring them in, you stubborn people, he said, make up your minds whom you shall follow or who you will worship. But for me and my family, I will worship God, the living God. After so many years, After so many messages, they still were stubborn. Many of us are like them. The promises of God were there, but there was a condition. The condition was in verse 7, be careful to obey all the law. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. Joshua was equipped to win the conflict, and so are we. There's another verse in the Bible, in this portion that we read, or we can read later on again, is, do not let this book depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything within it. Then you will be successful. You see, he promised protection. God promised protection. He promised success. And he said, but be careful. Follow my diet. And if you follow that diet, then you'll be successful. God has good things ahead for the believers. Salvation is only the beginning. Salvation is not the end. It could be for someone who is just dying. That could be the beginning at the end. But I hope not for us. Salvation is only the beginning. Salvation is to be born again. That's what the Bible says. So when a baby is born, starts a brand new life, a journey of life. And our journey of life is from the moment we are born again until we come to the end of our journey and we are transferred from this earth to an eternity in the presence of God. Salvation is not an insurance policy. And then we continue the way we were. Great victories are ours. If we, by faith, take them, let us march forward in faith. No enemy can stand against God and His faithfulness. But we can't negotiate with sin. We cannot negotiate with God. We cannot negotiate with the Holy Spirit that is in us. We must allow God to take complete control of our walk and our life. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for the great examples you have given us in the Bible. But also we thank you for the great examples we have in our own lives and around us. Of people who have been liberated from sin and have chains of sin have been broken. And people who have had victory over sin. We see all these. And we thank you. And this morning, Lord, we ask you please to help each one of us, touch our lives, and help us to march on, knowing that you are with us, you are guiding us, you are protecting us, you'll always be there to strengthen us. And if we ever fall, you would be there to pick us up and forgive us. Purify us and help us to continue our journey. But Lord, you have also given us an armor, the panoply, and you expect us to wear that and be careful and fight the good fight and finish the course. You have also given us the sword of truth, your word, that is enough, sufficient to fight evil in our life. May the Holy Spirit touch each one of us and strengthen us. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.